Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We talk about all three coming up next on the Gym Class on a Monday on KGYM. Welcome in to a Monday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City, 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass here today. Plenty to get to talk about from... an up and down weekend as far as it just depends on what direction you're looking at as far as your road through the weekend. Mike Halas, the esteemed sports columnist from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will be joining us coming up around the bottom of the hour to add his insight as well to the weekend around the state of Iowa. Iowa, Iowa State, you and I and Drake, something to talk about with one of the four. Certainly all of the four, if you will, today, Mark. How you been? You look good.
You do as well. There was a lot of homework over the weekend, wasn't there?
There was a lot of homework over the weekend. At one time, I had two televisions going and an electronic device trying to catch everything on Sunday. And I don't think I caught everything, to be quite honest with you. There were a few things that I didn't catch. And so I had to go back kind of later and take a look at it then. But, yeah, that's what makes this time of the year so fantastic. There is no better time of the year. Well, I can't say that, but it's one of the top two or three times of the year right now when you got basketball getting into the conference tournaments. You got the weather, hopefully, starting to get a little bit warmer where you think of outdoor activities. You got baseball starting in the offing, spring sports starting in the offing as well. It's a great time.
It is, and so much of the flurry of activity was earlier and mid part of yesterday afternoon. The highlight of the weekend for me came in relative prime time, the 5 to 7 o'clock window when the Iowa women's basketball team really, I thought, dominated a top 10 team in Maryland and came away with the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, and I thought that would get a little bit more play. It has around here, but not as much as I thought it would get as far as a national basis is concerned. Although some women's basketball scribes have now figured out, hey, Megan Gustafson's a pretty good player after she put up 40-plus again yesterday as Iowa beat Maryland, and Maryland just had no answer for her. Not many people have had an answer for Megan Gustafson on the inside, but at any rate, so you got Iowa, check that box, with the women's Big Ten championship. Iowa State goes for their championship tonight in the Big 12 tournament down in Oklahoma City. We'll have it for you at 7:30 tonight at 1600 AM for you. The task, I think, will be a little tougher, though.
Luck with that.
They go up against the Baylor Lady Bears, as Baylor, the number one team in the country, number one unbeaten in the Big 12, top-seeded team in the Big 12, and Iowa State will try to take them down in Oklahoma City coming up tonight. So, and then Drake wins the regular season women's title in the MVC. You and I believe tied for second, but they're going to be the number three seed in the tournament. So it could be a Drake-UNI women's basketball showdown for an NCAA spot, automatic NCAA spot. And what happens if UNI beats Drake? Does the Drake women get in? They should get in. Wouldn't be automatic. They'd have to take somebody's bid. But if it was on the men's side, it's an awful lot like some Belmont team that I was on the wagon for over the weekend. But at any rate, that's what makes this time of the year so great, Mark. That's some of the good stuff. Then the not-so-good stuff. I think Nebraska just hit another fall-away off-balance three-pointer in the last minute over in Lincoln. Nebraska comes from 17 down in the second half. They score 16 in the final minute to take it to overtime and then beat the Iowa Hawkeyes in overtime to win on senior day and probably Tim Miles' last game in Lincoln.
Yeah, it was a confounding loss for Iowa and its fans. Up 9 points with 50 seconds to go. And Nebraska hits 4 3-pointers in that span of time. Goes 5 for 6 from the field in overtime and claims the win. What could Iowa have done differently in the last minute? What could Fran McCaffrey have done different to avoid that loss? I'm asking myself that question. I posed the question on Twitter. Got a couple very reasoned responses. One thought Moss's turnover or Bohannon's gaffe, however you want to look at it, with 37 seconds left that led to 2 free throws for Nebraska. That person thought that was really the damning sequence in the last 50 seconds.
It did not help.
It didn't help. But really, I mean, Nebraska wasn't allowing Iowa's shot until the end. And Iowa responded by hitting 9 of 10 free throws.
They hit 90%.
What more do you want?
That's why the three-pointer was put into play many, many years ago, to make games interesting like that. Sometimes it works for you. Sometimes it doesn't work for you.
And Nebraska made some hellish shots. Iowa's done that at times this season as well. What would you have done different? 319-366-1600. Our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line, 9406. Yeah, he had a free throw. Absolutely. If Tyler Cook goes better than 5 of 11 from the line in the game, McCaffrey hits the second of his 2 free throws. Nebraska misses just one of those 3-pointers in the last 50 seconds, and Iowa comes away with a win.
True. But 9 out of 10, boy, that's hard to put down, that type of performance in the last minute. The turnover was big, though. The turnover was big, and I think it was a part of, you know, a little bit of Jordan, a little bit of Isaiah Moss in there. Not on the same page and just not a sluggish pass and handoff. Or whatever, however you want to deem it. But Nebraska made some big threes at the end.
Huge.
I mean, just unbelievable. Almost Wieskampian 3-pointers. They didn't, you know, bank one from
Bohannon.
A corner. But, man alive, that you got to tip your hat to them at times for getting it to overtime. And then was it Palmer that came down and the first points overtime? He started from somewhere near Kearney and threw it down. And Nebraska showed they have a little bit of gumption left, I think, for Tim Miles in that game.
Yeah, but with only 7 scholarship players available, Miles got a big contribution from one of the walk-ons. And
it's waiting for a manager to come in.
I mean, you got to give him credit for sticking in. Nebraska's going nowhere this year. But the seniors really bailed him out. But 31-48 on the text sign, typical Fran fold. We probably won't win another game this year. Connor shouldn't even be on the court.
I do question sometimes the reasoning. And I understand why Connor is out there, a different ball handler. But teams have figured out that Connor is not going to shoot it. He's not probably going to make it if he does shoot it from the outside. He can shoot that and has done so in New York in high school. Made one yesterday. But it seems like he is reluctant to shoot it toward the end of the game. But he is a good free throw shooter. So you think you got to have him in there at that point.
I'm reluctant to pin it on one guy.
Oh, I am.
One coach.
I agree.
It just matters. And you know what, Scott? Starting today, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's happened up till now.
Right.
Now you're going into the Big Ten tournament. It really doesn't matter.
And we'll see who the Hawkeyes will face on Thursday night.
Some folks really questioning Fran's comment after the game. And Micah Loss, who we'll visit with, posed the question. The question went something like, how do you look at 10-10 in the league? And Fran McCaffrey said, in this league, it's tremendous. That's the subject of our poll question at KGYMRadio.com today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Is a 10-10 record in Big Ten play tremendous? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, a tremendous restaurant on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. You know what? I'm not going to beat up Fran McCaffrey for calling it tremendous. I would say the season was not tremendous. Had Iowa been 6-10 and won its last four, that was a tremendous finish. But being 10-6 and losing your last four in the league, I don't really call that tremendous. I mean, if that's tremendous, what do you call the Iowa women's season?
Stupendous. 319-366-1600. And I think that is what rankled everyone yesterday when Fran made that statement after the game. And if he would have just said, you know what, I think it was a good year, I think feathers wouldn't have been ruffled so much. But he used that particular word.
Six games better in the league than last year. Granted, there was two more Big Ten games this season than last that were played. Big improvement. Again, maybe that says a whole lot more about last season than this season, but I think Fran probably was, you know, he might want to take that word back. He may not. I don't know. But I think he's speaking for, you know, being the head coach at a Big Ten school, a Big Ten basketball coach, he knows how hard it is to win in the league better than anybody.
Good league, certainly. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. By the way, we are presented by Third Base Brewery once again at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by for some postseason basketball. They will have it down there, and they are locally owned and operated. When you're at Third Base, you're practically home. As if we rewound back to November, and you asked, and we did ask, 21-10, would you have taken this? Would you have taken that for this Iowa men's basketball team? That's my question.
I think most people would.
That's my question.
I think most people would.
319-366-1600.
There we have it. 1307. Hawks are 1-6 without Dolph.
Well, you know what? Does what happened a couple of weeks ago, does that have something to do with the way the Iowa basketball team is playing right now? And that's my question to you out there. Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing? I don't think the Dolph thing probably should play a lot into it, but having your coach not on the sideline for the last two times out is definitely something is amiss. And I think it did rub off on the team a little bit.
Yeah, it didn't help at all. On the text line, I'd love to hear those who say fire Fran give an option as to who would take over. It's easy to say fire Fran. God, please, please, just don't even think about it.
Fran's not going anywhere.
There's 9 million reasons why he's not going anywhere.
There's 9 million reasons why he's not going anywhere, and if you fire Fran after a season where I was going to be in the NCAA basketball tournament. There's no doubt about that. Even if they lose their, quarterfinal, it would be, I guess, to Illinois or whoever.
Northwestern.
Or Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Probably going to be Illinois, but you never know how that's going to play out in Chicago. I was going to be in the tournament. And you cannot fire a coach for making the improvement of taking a team from where they were last year to getting into the NCAA
Again,
tournament.
What would you have done differently in the last 50 seconds or a minute and a half if you had been Fran McCaffrey? There's just one response that I see on the text line, and that's from 1424. Run all the Nebraska shooters off the three-point line and trading two-point baskets or foul for two free throws rather than trading three for two.
Now, there's a perfect – that is something that could be done a little bit different. Now, with that being said, I was one who used to be of the thinking that don't foul. But I've completely changed. I've gone 180 the other way. I've had enough coaches tell me now, covering games, what have you, you don't let them have a chance to tie it up. Now, you don't let them – you don't foul on the three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was something that Fran McCaffrey was fearing a little bit. I don't know. But more of your comments, but we're going to get to Joyce in Cedar Rapids, who is on the phone lines. You can join her at 319-366-1600 here on this Monday afternoon. Joyce, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. How's your Monday?
My Monday's good.
Good. What's on your mind?
I just wonder, I don't see Lisa Bluter the whole tournament. They absolutely mauled Megan Gustafson. And nobody gets on the officials for that. I don't know if you noticed it. If you watch the Iowa women's game, you had to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been kind of mauled all year.
I mean mauled, not just guarded.
It's interesting. They explained the fact that Megan had a ice bath on Saturday night just to get her ready to play coming up on Sunday, just to make her feel better out there. Yeah, Lisa didn't, but I think Lisa is probably A, used to it, and B, Iowa was playing really well. There wasn't a lot of what Lisa could say on the sideline.
But it doesn't matter how much you're playing. If they're mauling somebody, they should be calling fouls.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
I mean,
sometimes that whistle goes away in the postseason, Joyce, a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's all.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
319-366-1600. Joyce is mad at the officials.
No, Megan Gustafson gets roughed up. There's no question about it. She's used to it. First question I would ask her, if she was our interview guest, is how sore are you the next day?
Gotta be sore. Gotta be sore out there. We're going to take a break. Come back. More to discuss. UNI and Drake, Iowa State. They all played over the weekend. Different outcomes. We'll talk about that when we return. Michael Oss is going to join us in about 10 minutes as well. Stay tuned. More of the Gym Class coming your way for Monday here on KGYM.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and C-Corp tax filings before April 15th. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. 319-208-3712. Community.
When it's sports you need, tune to KGYM. Great ESPN programming and live local sports. When it's smart rock you need, tune to Smart FM for great smart rock and weekend programming. Like the Beatles Buffet, Sunday mornings at 11. Looking for something a little off the beaten path? Chris Jackson's got you covered with Where It's At. Everything alternative, Sunday nights at 6. Smart rock on Smart FM.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back. back with you in the Gym Class for Monday here at KGYM. Mike Colas will join us in about 8 minutes or so. He was in Ames on Saturday. He was in Lincoln on Sunday. That's a good week. That's a good weekend. That's good 48 hours right there. 319-366-1600. We've gotten a lot of texts today in the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Pro Iowa women, not so much pro as far as the Iowa men's basketball team. There was more to the basketball and wrestling weekend. The Iowa State men's basketball team fell again at home to Texas Tech on senior day.
Played a lot better.
My point, though, today, and one of my little hash items on my sports view was, when did it become just okay for Iowa State to play well at home? What happened to Hilton Magic, Mark? I put it this way. The all-time Globetrotter team could come in sometimes and not beat Iowa State in Ames. And now we're just settling for, Iowa State played better.
I think it was a light of what happened the last three or four games, more than anything else. But it hasn't been a good season at Hilton for this basketball
team.
Four
Big 12 losses at home, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
One, they had a better record, I believe, on the road than at home this year in the Big 12 Conference, which is, as I was talking to one of the folks in the building here today, completely opposite of when Johnny Orr was the head coach of the Cyclones. And it seemed they couldn't win anything on the road and went 8-0 or whatever at home each and every year as far as the Big 8 and the Big 12 is concerned. But Iowa State finishes fifth. They will take on Baylor in the 4-5 game at the Big 12 tournament. That will be on Thursday morning. That's the first game of the quarterfinal session. That will tip off at 11:35 down at the Sprint Center in Kansas City. Winner gets Texas Tech, more than likely. They are the number one seed in the tournament. They got it by virtue of a tiebreaker over Kansas State. Texas Tech is playing well. They got four seniors, and that's a team I'm looking at to do some damage in the tournament. Not only in the Big 12, but in the Big Dance.
I would agree with you. 64-39 on the text line. Prohm has lost Hilton Magic. It's obvious Prohm has made it known what he thinks of Lard and has it in for him. No minutes played. Condit played 14 minutes, and as well as a freshman, isn't getting much of a chance this year.
I wouldn't place the blame of the Cameron Lard situation at the feet of Steve Prohm, though. It goes back to the summer when Cameron Lard was not involved in any Iowa State basketball activities. Mm-hmm. This is the third time, basically, he's been suspended. And for him to still be in an Iowa State uniform is probably, a lot of coaches would not have that, I think, with Cameron Lard at this point. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Mike Colas. He was in Ames on Saturday before going to Lincoln on Sunday. We'll talk with Mike about that. Is Hilton Magic, is it on hiatus, or is it a thing of the past? Then he had the Mo Valley over the weekend. And I tell you what, my heart went out for the Drake Bulldogs. It really did on Saturday evening. Because they had nobody left. They were down to seven players, basically, for Drake. Two bigs that didn't play a whole lot during the season. The young guy from Davenport Assumption, one of them, came in and gave it his all. And UNI also gave it their all. They found Justin Dahl somewhere before the Missouri Valley tournament, came in, played his best game as a Panther, and then kept throwing him in there in crunch time, as far as that is concerned. And you and I just outlasted Drake. I think Drake just ran out of gas in the semifinal, and I think you and I ran out of gas in the second half with about 10 minutes to go in that game. And, you know, my hat's off to Wyatt Lohaus. He was tremendous, and he played what may have been his best basketball down the stretch for UNI, and he kind of put them on his back there at the end. UNI changed their offense a little bit. They went to a mid-range game. How refreshing in 2019, a team shooting 15 to 17 footers, Mark Dukes. Yes, they shot some threes, but the majority of their shots were in that mid-range. And it really helped UNI.
You had to feel for Drake, which tied for the regular season conference championship. And how many injuries did Darian DeVries go through this season? It was just one thing after another.
Lost his third starter, Nick McGlynn, in the quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the final brick.
UNI had a big lead in that championship game as well. And Bradley came back. Bradley probably playing in that league, maybe the best of any team down the stretch. But UNI and Drake played, you know, a heck of a game in the semifinals. And I thought UNI was going to get it done. But I agree with you. Probably just ran out of gas.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Sid in the basketball mecca of the world, Northern Linn County in Alburnett. Sid, how you doing?
We're super. Isn't that wonderful? For a team that's never been there, I'm really proud of them. We're a transplant from Cedar Rapids. I had a quick question for you guys.
Sure.
And I just wanted to have you two discuss this if you could. And maybe it's something I'm not seeing. I always thought basketball was a non-contact sport. Why is it that at least two-thirds of the time when I watch an offensive player, especially in and around the paint, goes up for a shot, initiates the contact, why does it seem like the defensive player is the one that always getting called for the foul? I just do not understand that. And it seems to me that it's more and more all the time. And that's my question. Hopefully you guys can answer it for me.
Well, we'll try, Sid.
All right.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Sid, and congratulations to the Pirates. What a phenomenal season.
Absolutely fantastic.
You bet.
And North Linn as well.
And North Linn for sure.
And North Linn on their championship.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Sid.
That's a tricky question. It really is, because every play is different. I know what Sid is getting at. I'm not an official. Don't pretend to be. Don't want to be. There's a principle of verticality that I think I understand. Sometimes it has to do with, you know, Megan Gustafson in the women's game is a perfect example of this. She seems to have her hands straight up in the air many times, but you just bring one of those hands down just a little bit, and you're going to be the one called for initiating the contact. But I don't know. That's a very interesting question. Maybe you can shed some light on it, Scott. I don't know.
It goes back to this. Two things. Number one, was an advantage gained? Every official I've ever talked to, in their minds, before they blow the whistle, they ask, has one player gained an advantage by what they're doing over the other player? That's one thing. And also, basketball has evolved. Sid was right. There was one time when basketball was kind of considered a non-contact sport, if you will. But that has changed. You get these big kids out there, and you get summer basketball, and you get other things going, and there's contact now. And it's just how much contact are the officials going to allow. Used to be you couldn't hold on in football, Mark. They hold on every play now. Now holding's legal. You just can't move them. So things have changed over the years. And one of them in basketball is there is banging going on in the inside and on the interior. Megan Gustafson with the women's game, she'd be the first to tell you that. You go and watch games at Hilton or Carver or McLeod or what have you, and the guys in the middle, if they are in the middle, because you don't see that much anymore, and they're just banging on one another. And it's almost as though they've asked the institution of flopping to be put back into the game, because if you flop, and we saw it at the state basketball tournament a few times in the last couple of weeks, more likely you're going to get a call.
I think what you said, it was an advantage gained or was an advantage taken away.
Very much so.
And that's maybe one of the tougher calls for an official.
It is a tougher call. By the way, if you would like to become an official, and I heard so many of them over the last couple of weeks, contact your local AD. 319-366-1600. All right, we need to take a break. Mike Halas joins us on the other side of the break. He was in Ames. He was in Lincoln. We'll talk about both those games with Mike when we return.
Need a little sweet in the office this morning? pick up some new donut sticks from McCafe. Sweet, golden brown dough, sprinkled with cinnamon sugar and made fresh every morning. It's a little sweet you can share. Kind of like saying, Happy Monday, and actually meaning it. Bringing homemade cookies for the break room, or laughing when the boss cracks the old working hard or hardly working joke for the eighth time this week. New donut sticks from McCafe. A little sweet to go with your coffee. For a limited time only at participating McDonald's.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
I used to have a sweet tooth, had it removed when I was a kid. So what do I crave instead of chocolate? A big red box from Grainger. Grainger satisfies my craving for great customer service with 24/7 support, effortless ordering, and same-day pickup or next-day delivery options. No busy signals, no cavities. I love Grainger. You know why? Because when it comes to reliable product and technical support, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let Sport Clips Haircuts upgrade your day. During the month of March, get $5 off the Double MVP experience via text message when you check in online or with the Sport Clips app. That means after your fresh cut, you'll get double the massaging shampoo and legendary hot steam towel. Then we'll give you $5 off. It's a win-win. The Sport Clips app. Download, check in, and cut the wait. Mobile opt-in required to receive discount code. Offer expires 3/31/19. See terms at sportclips.com/thank you.
Back with you in the Gym Class here at KGYM for a Monday. Thank you for joining us. Todd Brombelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way at 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Basketball tonight, we got the women's Big 12 championship game at 7:30. Iowa State and number one Baylor from Oklahoma City on 1600 AM. And then at 7:45 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, it'll be the MAAC championship. From Westwood One. You know who's playing in the MAAC championship game tonight? Mark.
No.
I can tell you that. I know it's Iona. The Iona Gaels will take on Monmouth. I believe the Hawks in the Metro Atlantic Conference Tournament championship game. And then tomorrow night we've got the West Coast Conference championship game for you. And that would be between the winners of the games between St. Mary's and San Diego and Gonzaga and Pepperdine. I would imagine it's going to be number one Gonzaga, but you never know how things play out. To talk about all things basketball, what have you, Mike Law, set to join us right now, joins us on Mondays. Of course, you can read his stuff at thegazette.com and also give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Halas. That is his Twitter handle. Fresh from his trip to all ports to the west, Ames and Lincoln. That's a good weekend. That's a good weekend, Mike.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Mm. A lot of good basketball.
You got two. Oh, the second part, maybe. The first part about being fresh from that. No. Wrong. It's like you're fresh from 2 weeks in Des Moines.
Yes, I am not fresh. So, yes, you are right on that.
By the way, did anybody make a shot in that state tournament last week?
Jake Kilmer made a few.
Yeah.
Al Burnett made a few. So we were kind of kidding around. Last person out of Northern Linn County, please shut off the lights. That was kind of the way it was. But yeah, that was nice to see.
Who was left to make the roasted chicken in Al Burnett?
I don't know, but I don't think anybody was there to eat the roasted chicken in Al Burnett. So. But they're all celebrating today, and congratulations to all those communities up there for that.
You asked the question, Mike, after Nebraska beat Iowa yesterday, what Fran McCaffrey thought of a 10-10 big season. He said what, and what was your reaction?
He said, I can remember. He used the word tremendous. In this league, that's tremendous. I think that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
My reaction was, well, that's an interesting quote that I can use in the story.
As you did.
I mean, yeah, because I thought it was interesting. And apparently a lot of other people thought it was really interesting, gauging by the reaction the last 24 hours or so. I kind of think maybe too much has been made of it, just because if he'd had an hour after the game and asked him that, I think his answer would have been different. But it was a press conference, and it was an immediate answer, and I'm sure he wasn't feeling real great about things, and that's what he said.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think what was tremendous is the way Nebraska shot the ball in the last 50 seconds.
Well, they were pretty extraordinary. I mean, you score 20 points in the last minute 39 of a game. You don't see that too often. But you also have to have the chances to do that. And I mean, Iowa had a 9-point lead with 50 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot your way to victory only if the other team has given you the chance to, when they're up 9 with 50 seconds left.
But, Mike, I mean, Iowa made 9 of 10 free throws in the last 50 seconds. Nebraska didn't allow Iowa to get in shooting position until the last few seconds. What could Iowa have done more?
I'll say it again. They were ahead by 9 with 50 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
When the other team outscores you by 9 points in 50 seconds, you didn't play it flawlessly.
No. Big turnover in there.
Yeah, and they had 11 of them in the second half, you know. And it's easy to pile on right now. It is. And, you know, Mark, your point's right. Nebraska was brilliant down the stretch. Quinn Watson and James Palmer, they made some sensational shots. But this is, you know, this is all turned into a season that is, okay, things have evened out. I mean, these crazy wins that they got against Northwestern and against Indiana.
And Rutgers.
Rutgers, yeah. Well, maybe that Iowa team wasn't really all that in a bag of chips, you know. Maybe that the Iowa team that is a 500 team. And is that a horrible thing? Well, at the beginning of the year, I think you say 10 and 10. In fact, I'm not sure I should betray him, but I talked to Bob Hansen before the season ever began, and he said he thought that they could go 10 and 10, and I thought that might be selling them short. But it turns out he hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't know is this league as great as everybody involved in it seems to want us to believe? Maybe. But I'm not sure. It's really hard to tell, you know. I mean, when they're just playing each other for 3 months. But I'm not sure how much greatness I see. At the same time, in a few weeks, we might turn around and see a couple of teams, three teams in the Elite Eight, and say, well, it was a great league. But I don't know.
I think it's a very good league. I don't know. Now, Michigan State allegedly is going to get Nick Ward back, which is going to help them. I can see Michigan going to the Elite Eight. If Purdue gets the right draw, maybe. I mean, this Michigan and Michigan State are going to be the two flag bearers, I think, for the Big Ten, though.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But, you know, I'm not throwing dirt over Iowa. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I still think, and we always use the phrase the right draw, but on a neutral court, you know, they could play most teams in this country pretty tough. They could right the ship this week in Chicago, or they could come home Thursday night again, which they've made a habit of doing. But, you know, the thing is, what they did is they were sitting nice in all the bracketologies around the universe until the last couple weeks. Now they're down there in that 8-9 swamp where your chances of getting to the second week aren't real good. So they could really use a couple wins this week, and what that would mean would be beating Michigan again. Whether they're up to the task of doing that a second time, with Michigan revenge-minded and fresh, I don't know. But, you know, if they beat, let's say they beat Illinois and then they come home, or and then they lose to Michigan, I think you're looking at that 8-9 game next week, and it's a coin flip game to then proceed to play Duke or somebody.
Yeah, it's going to be Duke or Kentucky in most all the bracketology. Only way Iowa gets out of the 8-9 is at winning two at least. If they knock off Michigan, I think they get to the 7 line maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that would, I mean, heck, that'd be a great win. First, they have to get to that game. And, you know, after seeing what we've seen the last couple of weeks, you'd say, well, good luck. But it does start over. And, I mean, history shows it. Every year, there are teams that just stagger to the end of the regular season. And then it's like, okay, now we start playing. And, I mean, I use an example of in the Wayback Machine back in 2001 when a lot of you people out there were toddlers. And some of you were, you know, you were adults.
Careful.
You had a little more spring in your step. They had lost in 2001. They lost 6 of their last 7 games, Iowa. Went to Chicago, won 4 straight. I'm not saying that's going to happen this year. I'm just saying this is the kind of thing that happens every year to somebody somewhere.
True.
And, you know, Iowa isn't the same team today as it was a few weeks ago. Well, it might not be the same team a week from now.
How many days are you packing for?
Oh.
You gotta pack for the whole thing.
See, that's where you're wrong.
JJ got caught with that one year.
I did too. In fact, there was a Sunday in Indianapolis where I wore a pullover with the Big Ten logo on it that they gave to us on Thursday, and I thought, I'm never wearing this stupid thing. but come Sunday, it's like, well, I guess it's clean. But no, to me, it's more fun to travel light, and then if you have to adjust on the fly, you know, head over to Target or Kohl's or wherever, and, you know, you can handle it.
Mike Halas joining us here.
I'd never approve that on an expense report. I know that.
And you've had reporters who would try to get away with it.
Yeah, indeed.
Mike Halas at 346 joining us on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. I asked this question earlier in the show and on the Sports View earlier today. One of my points. Is Hilton Magic gone?
Well, it's never been a permanent thing. It seems to only show up when the teams are really good. It's funny how that happens.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost their mojo. And the parallels to Iowa season are pretty striking. I mean, both teams just wheezing down the stretch. What we saw last week at West Virginia was kind of... I mean, they played awful, and their behavior was worse. Body language was lousy. The camaraderie was non-existent, et cetera. Saturday was a really good game. They lost to Texas Tech, but it was, I mean, the game wasn't decided until the last 30 seconds, and Texas Tech is league champion.
They're good.
They're really good, and they've won their last 9 games in a good conference.
And they got 4 seniors.
Yes, and the best player in the conference this season, according to the all Big 12 votes, is their sophomore, Garrett Culver, who that was the best individual game I've seen in person this year, what he played Saturday at Hilton. And they needed every bit of it. Iowa State looked a lot more like a basketball team, and, you know, they're still going to the NCAA tournament. They can still go to Kansas City and, you know, make a lot of trouble. Got a tough first game. Well, big deal, you know. It's a 4-5 game. They're playing Baylor, and Baylor's good. Okay, they're good too. The winner will play a team that it can, you know, the winner will play the number one seed, and that'll be somebody they can play with. So Iowa State could go down there and win that thing. But it's just, it's one of those deals where they've got, things just have to all be synced up right. I mean, Horton Tucker and Wigginton and everybody, they've got to, I hate to use this stupid cliche, but they've got to be on the same page. I think with real talent, the bigger the game and the bigger the stage, the more you see things get synced up. So, you know, in that regard, I expect Iowa State to represent itself well in Kansas City, whether it wins or loses.
If you live in this state, special teams and special players only come around every so often, and I think that's very true of the Iowa women and its season, their season this year. I know you were coming back from Nebraska at the time that game was played last night, Iowa and Maryland, but my goodness, 45 points for Megan Gustafson, and knowing what she goes through every single game, getting hammered each and every trip down the court, and Bluder has some complimentary players as well. I mean, this is a really fun story in my mind.
Yes, I listened to the second half in the car on the drive from Lincoln to back home, and it was jarring. I mean, Maryland caught them early in the second half, but then Iowa regained the lead, grabbed it, and extended it further than it had it before, and just didn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to the radio broadcast, it's not just Megan Gustafson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if she didn't have the right players with her, she's not averaging what it would, you know, 27 points. She's just not. And I've seen this with my own eyes over the last 2 years. They get the ball to her in the right spot at the right time. And then, of course, she's so skilled that she makes full use of those tools. But they've got good players who make a lot of, I mean, they're talented, but they're just such a sharp-minded team. Tanya Davis last night, all over the place with steals and with passes and hitting the occasional shot when, you know, they left her open on the outside. And Anna Stewart and Kathleen Doyle, these are really good players.
Mm-hmm.
And Doyle, I think it was Doyle that dove on the floor from like one side of the court to the other to get a possession, call timeout, and Iowa got a turnover that way.
Yeah, I mean, this is. And it's not looked upon as anything out of the ordinary. It's just what they do. It's how they play. It's one of the more likable basketball teams, you know, I think, that the state of Iowa has seen in quite some time. And they could go a long ways in the NCAA tournament. I really believe that.
Two home games, you know, given the right time and day, could get some huge crowds down there.
I would think so. I think that the people who watched that on TV last night who only – had maybe a casual interest in them would have said to themselves, I might have been missing something here. I mean, they play this game the way you like to see it played.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa State's team has done likewise, the women's team.
Yeah, got a chance to see them the entire game yesterday. And not only Bridget Carlton, player of the year, Alexis Middleton is really good. Really good, and she just looks like she looks a little. She's got a little nasty to her.
She's gonna need that tonight. I guarantee you.
Yeah, but you know that might be a good game. They might give Baylor a lot of trouble. They might.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. We talked about the Mo Valley, and Drake just ran out of fresh bodies Saturday, and then you and I just kind of ran out of gas in the last 5 minutes of that game yesterday. That how close they came to getting into the NCAA tournament despite all the injuries, despite all the problems they had this year.
Yeah, that was a shame on two fronts. First, it would have been very interesting to hear what people had to say if you and I went to the NCAAs with a 17-17 record. And then secondly, you know, the what-ifs for Drake. What if Drake hadn't had all those injuries? It just seems cruelly unfair. That's sports, of course, but you have to wonder that if Drake had been anywhere close to full health, or just the health it had in the regular season in the big in the Missouri Valley, I think Drake wins that tournament and is going to the big tournament. And so, you know, it did everything it could. And sometimes you just say, well, that was a team that got the absolute most out of what it had in a great season, and tip your cap.
It should play somewhere, though. It's going to play in one of the three tournaments, I would imagine.
I suppose.
For what it's worth.
You know, it's just nobody remembers those tournaments.
Running short on time, Mike, but the Big Ten honors will be dished out here in about 6 minutes. Which player, if any, on the Iowa team deserves any recognition?
Well, I would think Wieskamp would be on the all-freshman team.
Mm-hmm.
After that, if anybody's on, let's say, second or third team all-Big Ten, I would think that it would be a mildly pleasant surprise. Maybe third team, it wouldn't be a surprise, but, you know, I think it's really arbitrary. Once you get past the first team, to me, it's just a big jumble of players. But the thing to remember is that, you know, in June when the NBA has its draft, you're not going to be hearing very many of those guys' names mentioned, but you'll be hearing a ton of them from the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I know the first one. He's gotten a little publicity over the last 2 weeks for not playing. I think he'll be fine in there. Who's player of the year in your mind in the Big Ten?
That's tough. I would go with, boy, I think Cassius Winston. But by a whisker over Carson Edwards and Ethan Happ. I mean, you saw what Happ did against Iowa last week, and it's like that's what this guy's been doing for so long. And, I mean, he does everything except make free throws. And without him, Wisconsin's an awfully ordinary team. But Winston's team shared the title. Winston leads the league in assists. He's one of the top players in scoring, and he's the heart and soul of it. So I would give it to him by a sliver.
It's got to be one of those three guys, and they'll all be all first team Big Ten. So that'll be coming out in just a few minutes or so. All right, we'll know the destination, where everybody's going at this time next week, and we'll talk about that and other things, Mike. Appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Michael Oss joins us on Mondays here on the Gym Class from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazette.com. Back with more after this.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual, Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring. Local flooring experts by design.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. A reminder that we have for you our bracket challenge. And you can go and get all the details early here, Mark. It's going to be up and running, obviously, after we get the tournament field selected on Sunday at 5 o'clock. We'll have that for you on all three frequencies. But do yourself a favor. Go to KGYMradio.com. Our bracket challenge brought to you by I'm On Communications. Our winner will get $500. Also, we are teaming up again this year with our good friends from CBS2 and KGYM. Their bracket is going to include prizes of Samsung 55-inch LED Smart HD TV valued over $500. We're going to be going up against the guys over at Channel 2.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mia won last year. She left for Jacksonville, had returned the trophy. So, you know, maybe we'll keep the trophy in the office. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if one of our five experts here can take it down.
Should be a lot of fun. You need to get your bracket in by the start of games, not this Thursday, but next Thursday.
The following Thursday.
Yep.
So go to both KGYMradio.com. Well, just go there. They'll have the information for both of those brackets. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is next.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky